I'd like you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. I want to read 18 words that Jesus said that I believe will be a help to us. Before we read these, let me tell you what we're reading. Jesus had just spent a very special time with his disciples as they observed what we call the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, last time he had to share a meal with them, as he shared, as Billy was sharing during our communion time. He shared with them about a new covenant that's coming into being and explained to them about how that was going to work and whether they understood it or not, I'm not sure. But then they left there and they went to a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was a place where Jesus needed to spend some time in prayer. And so he asked his disciples to help him pray, and he said something to them as he was preparing to go off by himself to pray. And this is what we find in verse 41. He said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now, I believe that there are many people here this morning that have struggled with temptation, struggled with giving in to temptation, struggled with having the same problems, the same difficulties, the same weaknesses arise again and again and again in your life. Same problems and continuing to give in to those temptations. And I believe in these 18 words, Jesus gives us at least a part of the answer of how to resist and overcome temptation. Because what we're going to find is that everybody faces temptations. Everybody faces challenges in their life. But the question is, what do we do with it? Do we continue to just give in to it? Or do we do what we can do to put ourselves in a position so that we can overcome the temptations that face us in our life? And Jesus made this statement. He said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So he said, you need to do certain things. You need to watch and you need to pray to keep yourself from entering into temptation. Because he said, your spirit is willing. Your spirit wants to do the right thing. And especially now that we can be born again, your spirit wants to do the right thing. You have the life of God inside of you. You're born again. You're a new person. You're a child of God, and inside you want to do the right thing. But many times we give in to these fleshly desires and the temptations of the enemy, even though you want to do the right thing. Paul talked about this in Romans. He says, I'm having trouble figuring this out sometimes. I want to do the right thing, and I do the wrong thing, and I don't want to do the wrong thing, but I do the wrong thing, and I want to do the right thing. Why don't I always do the right thing? But he went on and he said that Jesus Christ is the one who gives us the victory over the flesh, over the enemy. And so it's possible for us to resist those things. And so I want to talk to you about what Jesus said about watching and praying and how important prayer is to put ourselves in a position so that we can overcome temptation. Now, isn't that what Jesus wants us to do? Aren't we supposed to be overcomers? He said we're supposed to be overcomers in the book of Romans, so we're supposed to overcome everything that comes against us, including the temptations that come from our fleshly nature, fleshly part of us, and the things that come from the enemy. And so here's the answer right here. Watching and praying. Watching and praying. What I have found is that many people have good intentions about praying. They really want to spend time in prayer. They know it's important to spend time in prayer. But many times we don't spend time in prayer, do we? If you're like me, you have to struggle. I tell you what my situation is. I have to fight to make time for prayer. Because there's always something else I could be doing. There's always something else I could be doing. And many times I've gotten in the habit already of I just got to leave the office and go back here in the prayer chapel where nobody can bother me. There's no phone ringing. There's no one coming to the door. There's nothing that has to be done. I just tell Darlene I'll be back in the prayer chapel for a while. And that means leave me alone. I've got to go spend time in prayer. Now, you face the same challenge, not exactly the same, but you face challenges in your life also. And God wants you to overcome. Jesus wants you to overcome those challenges. He wants you to overcome those temptations. And here's one way to do it, and that is to spend time in prayer. Because when you spend time in prayer, that is part of your preparation for the battle. We have to be prepared for the battle. When our soldiers, our military people, They don't, when they are going into battle, they are successful because they have been prepared for battle. How many of you know that our military folks don't just sit around and say, well, we're not in any war right now, so let's just eat pizza and ice cream and watch soap operas all day and just kind of hang out, take a nap in the morning about 10, another one about 3, and then go home and see if we can get to bed early about 9. Well, what kind of a military would we have if everybody did that? What would we do when a conflict arises if we say, now, where are our rifles anyway? Those tanks still working? They're all rusted shut. No, the military continues to prepare our troops, don't they? We're constantly in a place of preparedness, constantly doing drills, doing maneuvers, going over the truths and the plans and the principles that make our country great and make our military so strong. We do that so that when a conflict arises, when the enemy does stand up and say, we're going to have to fight, then we're ready. And prayer is part of your preparation for the battle and the temptations and the trials that we're going to face. And so if you wait until the temptation comes to prepare, it's too late, isn't it? It's too late. That's why back when we had the draft, we wouldn't draft the young men one day and send them into battle the next, would we? Because they weren't prepared. They had to get physically fit. They had to understand how the military operates. They had to understand how to take orders. They had to understand how to operate their weapons. They had to understand the principles of battle. They had to understand all the things that go with doing battle, and they did that because they needed to be prepared when the time of battle came. And what happens many times is we wait until a conflict arises in our life and then we decide, well, I guess we better start praying now. And that's good. You ought to pray. But wouldn't it have been better if you were prepared for the battle? Because Jesus said, if we'll watch and pray, we won't enter into temptation. Now, that's what I want you to get. The watching and the praying helps us to prepare so that when the temptations and the trials come, we don't enter into temptation. Why don't you look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Let me share this scripture with you. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 8 and 9. He says, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now notice, first of all, he says to be sober. To be sober. Well, that word just means to be self-controlled. Sober is the opposite of being drunk, isn't it? When you're drunk, you're out of control. But if you're sober, you're in control. He says, make sure you're in control of your faculties, in control of your mind, in control of your body. Be sober. Be in control. And then he says, and be vigilant, because your adversary. What is an adversary? An enemy, someone who comes against you. He says, you need to be watchful. You need to be vigilant. You need to be on the lookout, because we have an enemy, an adversary, the devil, who goes about like a roaring lion, seeking those whom he can devour. You know why he has to look for those people he can devour? Because there are some people he can't devour. There are some people that understand who they are in Jesus Christ, who understand the authority that God has given us because of what Jesus did for us, and understand the victory that we have over the enemy, and will not allow him to take control of their life. But then there are other people who either don't know that or refuse to exercise their dominion and authority, and he looks for people like that that he can devour. And so I tell you that you need to be on the lookout, because there is an enemy looking for people he can devour. And he may decide to check you out one day and see if he can devour you. He may decide to throw some temptations your way to try to destroy your marriage, to try to destroy your financial condition, to try to get you fired from your job, to try to cause problems between you and your children. He might try to find you and see if you understand your authority. So he says, be vigilant, be on the lookout, because we have an adversary that goes about like a roaring lion. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to be afraid of him. It just means that you need to be on the lookout for him. I grew up, my dad and I used to go hunting a lot, and so I spent a lot of time in the woods, and we hunted quail hunting and dove hunting and, And we had a cabin in the woods. We spent some time. And so one thing he taught me early on, especially in the summertime, was that when you're walking around in the woods, you need to watch where you're going because there are snakes out here. And he said, don't do something foolish. If you see a, you know how kids are, they like to just jump and run and stand on things. He said, if there's a log there, especially some old rotted log or a big log that's fallen down, a tree's fallen down, don't go up there jumping on it because that's the kind of place where a snake likes to live. Especially in the summer, he wants to get underneath there where it's cool. And so you don't want to be jumping and pounding on that fallen tree and a snake come out and bite you. Now, he didn't tell me that so I'd be afraid to go in the woods. He just told me that so I'd be able to be vigilant, to be on the watch, to be careful what I'm doing, to make sure that I'm prepared. And I believe God wants us to be prepared. And when we pray, the Bible says one thing that happens when we pray is that the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. And I believe He can show you traps the enemy has set for you, traps that he would like to encounter, cause you to cause problems in your life. He wants to show you those things before you get there so that you won't fall into them. But if you never spend any time in prayer, then you won't see those things. You won't see those traps. You see, it's important that we become very careful because we have an enemy and we have our flesh. And if we ever get to the point where we think, well, I'm so strong now, the enemy could never bother me. I could never fall. I could never have a problem with the enemy. That's the time when you're going to fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. You see, sometimes people think they can continue to put themselves in positions of temptation and they think that they can always resist it and it will never be a problem. But I'm telling you, if you keep putting yourselves in a position of temptation, one day you may fall. You see, sometimes people think, well, I'm just going to flirt a little bit at work. It's kind of fun, get attention and everything. But then all of a sudden somebody takes you seriously. And they say, well, you know, why don't we go to lunch? Oh, what could that hurt? Let's just go to lunch with this guy. I know I'm married and I know he's married, but we'll just go to lunch. Just no big deal. Just the two of us. And it's no big deal the first time, but then the second time, oh, let's have lunch every Tuesday. And then pretty soon you formed an emotional bond because you weren't vigilant. You weren't looking for the enemy who's trying to trap you. And if you'd been praying, the Holy Spirit would have warned you and said, no, you need to stop that. That's not good. Don't put yourself in a position where you can be tempted the first time that you went out and had lunch together. You didn't intend to have any thoughts about this other person, but after you've done it several times, then the enemy begins to put thoughts. You know, he is a lot nicer than your husband. He treats you much better than your husband. I bet he'd make a better husband than the one you got. And all of a sudden, you got thoughts to deal with you wish you'd never had. And you wouldn't have had them if you hadn't put yourself in the position to be tempted and tested. It's like saying, I'm just going to go in the bar with the guys. Oh, I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to do anything like that. Oh, I'm not going to mess around with any women. We're just going to go in there and talk. I'll just have a glass of water. But the longer you stay and the more these women are going by and they're flirting and the guys you're with are flirting and you're drinking and all of a sudden, well, I guess one beer wouldn't hurt. Just kind of be one of the guys. And pretty soon you put yourself in a position where the enemy can test you. And you weren't prepared to resist the enemy because you hadn't been praying. Because if you'd been praying, the Lord would have told you, don't even go there. When you began to walk in that bar, you would have had an alarm go off inside of you. The alarm I talked about a few weeks ago, saying, no, this is the wrong way to go. Prayer will prepare you so that you don't have to enter into temptation. You see, that's best. It's better to not ever enter into temptation than to have to resist it once you get there. And prayer is what will help you to be sober, to be vigilant, to look out for the enemy. Because we do have an enemy in this world. I'm not afraid of him, but I do know that he's there. And I need to make sure that I don't put myself in a place where I could continue to be tempted and tested by him. So prayer helps us to prepare for temptations. Prayer also helps us to prevent ourselves from walking into temptations. I want you to notice, I'm going to read this again back in Matthew 26 and verse 41. He said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Lest you enter into temptation. You see, prayer is going to help make you strong so that you won't enter into temptation. You know what it means to enter? You know, nobody's ever entered my house unless they walked through the door of their own accord. I open the door, or they open the door, and they walk in. Isn't that the way it works? You don't enter into your office, or your house, or your garage, or wherever it is you are. You don't enter unless you walk through the door. And here's where many people play games with themselves and try to fool themselves, and they'll come to the pastor and say, "Well, Pastor, I don't know what happened. I just fell into adultery. I don't know how it happened. I just fell into it, fell into sin." You didn't fall into sin. You entered into it. You walked through a door willingly of your own accord. It's not like you can say, "Well, one day I was just at the office, and the next minute I seemed to wake up and I was in a hotel room. I don't know how I got there. Don't know how it happened." No, we enter into temptation, and part of the way that we get strong to keep from entering into temptations when the temptations do come is by spending time with God in prayer. Because that will help to strengthen us, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. Help us to get strong so that we won't walk in to a place where we don't need to go. You see, wouldn't it be foolish for someone to get caught at work taking cash out of a convenience store clerk, and they get caught taking cash out of the cash register? Wouldn't it be foolish to say, "I don't know how that happened. I just fell into sin. That money, I don't know how it got in my pocket. I just fell into it somehow. I don't understand it." What would you say? You say, "No, you took the money. You made a decision to take that money and put it in your pocket. You didn't fall into sin. You chose to walk into it." And if you'd been strong in prayer, you would have been able to resist that, because prayer is what helps to prevent us from falling into sin or walking into sin or entering into that doorway. That's like this. My dad taught me early on that you ought to take care of what you own. And he told me that about a car. He said, "You ought to take care of a car when you have it. You need to change the oil regularly. Change the oil filter regularly. Keep it clean. Keep it fixed up." And so oil changes are part of preventive maintenance for a car, aren't they? And I can't tell you how many thousands of dollars I've saved in car repairs simply because I changed the oil, but I know that I have. My cars have lasted years longer. I've had fewer repair bills, and all because I did a very simple thing that every so many thousand miles, I would go in and have the oil changed or change it myself. Now, that's a small thing, isn't it, to do? Preventive maintenance, but it saves thousands of dollars. And you see, prayer is the same way. It's like the preventive maintenance for your life. Instead of waiting until you have a crisis and your marriage is in trouble, until you have a crisis and you're about to go under financially, until you have a crisis and you're about to lose your children because they're losing control, instead of waiting for those times, why not spend time in prayer at the beginning and do some preventive maintenance so that you can save thousands of hours, hundreds of hours of heartache and trouble and turmoil that would not have happened if we had just spent time in prayer? You see, I understand how difficult it is. We say we have good intentions. "Well, I'm going to pray in the morning." And we get legalistic about it sometimes. We go to a prayer seminar and someone teaches you need to pray. "Jesus prayed 1 hour. He said, couldn't you pray with me 1 hour? So everybody's required to pray 1 hour, and you ought to do it from 6 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock, or 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. If you don't do that, then you're not in the will of God." Well, that's taking that to an extreme, okay? And what happens is people, they'll get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and they'll pray for an hour Monday morning. And then Tuesday morning they'll get up at 5 and they'll pray for an hour. And then Wednesday they get up at 5 and roll over and go back to sleep because they say it's too much, can't handle it. Well, I'm telling you this, if you're not praying at all, then just pray for 5 minutes a day. Just start with that. If you're not spending any time with God alone, just start there. That's my encouragement to you. Just start where you can. See, if you try to bite off this 1 hour at a time, you probably never do it. But if you say, "Well, I believe I can do 5 minutes. I believe I can praise the Lord and ask Him for His guidance and direction for this day, just for 5 minutes. And then after you do that a while, then I'll bet you after a while you'll be able to say, "You know, I bet I could go 10 minutes. I bet I could carve another 5 minutes out of my day and spend time with my Father and ask Him for direction and guidance so that I will not enter into temptation, so that I'll be protected, so that I'll know when the enemy's trying to launch an attack on me." It's preventive maintenance. If you want to save trouble in your life, spend time with God. Spend time in prayer, because Jesus said if you'll watch and pray, you'll not enter into temptation. You'll not enter into that temptation. The temptation may come, but you won't enter in. You won't enter in because you've been spending time with God. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." You know, even in the midst of a turmoil, of a temptation, of a difficulty in your life, I believe God can show you the way out. You know, in building codes in this country, we have to put exit signs up. When you have a public building, you have to have exit signs like you see over there. And the one on the right, we need to get the light fixed, don't we? Because it's a, and the one back there, we need to get fixed. So the people can see the exit signs if there was an emergency. And I believe that God can do that by His Spirit too, that in the middle of a test by the enemy, when the enemy comes and tries to attack you, that God can show you, here's the exit, here's the way out, do this. You know, Joseph was a man in the Old Testament. He was tested, he was tried by a woman that wanted to have an affair with him. And he refused to do it. You know what he did? He just turned and ran the other direction. In fact, she had hold of his coat, and he just left the coat and took off. Said, "I'm not going, you know, that coat's, you can have the coat. That's not worth me ruining my life and the king probably killing me. I'm not going to mess with that. You can have my coat." But he found a way of escape, didn't he? He said, "I'm just going to turn and run." And sometimes it's just as simple as that, isn't it? You find yourself, especially teenagers, you find yourself in the wrong place with the wrong crowd. You just got to go. Just get on the phone, call your parents, do whatever you got to do, and go! Don't stay there where you can be tempted and tested, and the enemy can potentially have a victory in your life that can have a consequence that would last the rest of your life. Don't allow yourself. There's always a chance. There's always a way to get out. And I believe God can show us that way. If we've been spending time with prayer and we recognize His voice when He wants to speak to us and tell us, this is the way out, don't go that direction. And then the last thing I want to talk about concerning prayer, prayer prepares us, prayer helps us, helps prevent us from entering into temptation, and prayer helps us prevail in the midst of temptation. Look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. This is an account of a temptation that Jesus had to endure. Luke chapter 4. This is right after Jesus had been baptized in the river by John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit had descended upon him in the form of a dove. He had been anointed, filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit, whatever you want to call it. He was prepared now for his ministry to begin because the Holy Spirit had empowered him. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Now, did you notice it says that he was tempted for 40 days by the devil? See, a lot of times we think Jesus fasted for 40 days, and then we have these three temptations that are outlined here. We have the specifics about it. We think, well, he just didn't eat for 40 days and prayed, and then the devil showed up at the end of those 40 days and gave him a hard time with these three things, and Jesus was able to resist him, and that was that. No, the Bible says he was tempted for the whole 40 days. The whole 40 days. Now, sometimes people get the wrong idea. Well, once I get born again, does that mean the devil leaves me alone? I don't have any more problems? Not hardly. Not hardly. The devil gave Jesus problems. He tested and tempted him, and he'll do the same to you. The good news is that you've got the same victory over the devil that Jesus had. You can resist him just like Jesus did. And so he says, it says here that he fasted for 40 days. He was weak, but during those 40 days, the devil came again and again and again and again and tempted him. And there are times the devil will tempt you and test you, and to think otherwise is foolishness. We've got to be sober, remember? Be vigilant. Be on the lookout because we have an enemy that wants to attack you, would like to destroy your life, destroy your witness. He would like to destroy you and have people so that people can point at you and say, "Oh, I thought you were a Christian," and look at you. You're doing the same things people are not even saved are doing. No, he wants you to be free to overcome the temptations and the tests and trials. And so Jesus responded in verse 3, and the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Well, you see, Jesus had prayed. Prayer was a normal part of his life. Many times you'll read, Jesus would get up early in the morning, he'd go off by himself so he could pray. He tried to get, many times he had to get away from the crowds. He'd just leave the crowd behind and he'd say, I got to go pray. And he would spend time alone with the Father. And because he did that, we think, well, he was Jesus, he was God. Well, Jesus came to the earth as a man. And he functioned as a man, and he worked on this earth as a man. He didn't function down here as God, although he was, but he took on the form of a man, and so he needed to have that constant communication with his Father also. And he needed to resist the enemy also. And the devil tempted him, and if the devil tempted him, he will tempt you. But Jesus responded time and again with the Word of God that had been stored in his heart. The Word of God that had been stored in his heart. That's why it's so important to hear the Word of God. Because when you hear the Word of God and you store it in your heart, then when you have need of it, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance everything that He said to us. And that's exactly what happened to Jesus. He had stored this Word in his heart. And then when the devil brought this temptation, the Holy Spirit brought up out of his spirit, here's what you need to use to resist him. Here's the Rhema, Word of God, the sword of the Spirit you need to use to resist the enemy. And so Jesus spoke out the words that the Holy Spirit brought out of him, the word that had been stored there. And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that's what can happen to you. The more time you spend in prayer, the more accustomed you are to hearing the voice of God, then when your time of temptation and trial comes, the Holy Spirit can draw out of your spirit the word that's been stored in there, and you can speak like Jesus did and say, it is written, Satan, and resist him with the sword of the Spirit. Three times at the end of these 40 days, the devil tempted Jesus. But I want you to look at the end of it here. In verse 13. It says, now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. You know what that means? It means he wasn't through, but he came back and that he tempted Jesus repeatedly throughout his ministry, throughout his life. It's just that he'd got whipped so bad there, he had to go get some bandages and some band-aids and things and get himself cleaned up. But he said, I'm coming back. There's going to be a better time, and I'm going to try. Of course, there never was a good time for him to attack Jesus because Jesus always won. But he thought there'd be a better time, and he said, I'll come back. But here's the good news. You see, Jesus is not someone that doesn't understand what we went through. Sometimes people misunderstand Jesus' time on this earth and how they don't understand that he did really function as a human being, as a man, even though he still was God. He never gave that up. But he came and functioned as a man. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He said this high priest, Jesus, was the last high priest. Under the old covenant, they had the high priest who would offer sacrifices every year, but Jesus was the final high priest. There never has to be another priest. Jesus is it. He's the one that ascended to the Father and put His blood on the altar there and made atonement for our sins to remove our sins so that we don't have to be under the bondage of sin anymore. And so He's the final high priest. But while He was on this earth, He can identify with us because He was one of us. And He was tempted and tested and tried just like you and I are. It says He was tempted just like we are, yet without sin. Sometimes people think, Jesus couldn't sin. He was God. Yes, He could have sinned. How could He be tempted just like you and me if He didn't even have the capability of giving in? He couldn't relate to me if it was impossible for Him to sin. But He can relate to you and me because He could have given in, but He didn't. He walked in the will of the Father with the Holy Spirit power inside of Him and with the Word of God inside of Him, and He resisted the devil and resisted every temptation, and He was victorious. And so we have that same victory that Jesus has given to us. And prayer will help you to prevail in your time of tests and trial. Prayer is so important. Prayer is what strengthens you. And another form of prayer is praying in the Spirit. If you don't know what praying in the Spirit is, there'll be a time when I take a whole service or two and talk about this. But praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. It's what comes after you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and endowment with power from God to live a victorious Christian life. It's not required for you to be saved. You're saved by trusting Jesus for your salvation. That's how you're born again, and the Holy Spirit does come to live inside of you at that point. But then there is an event, an occurrence that happens after that for those who ask for it, this endowment with power, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what happens when we receive that is we receive the ability to pray to God, our spirit directly to His Spirit, to communicate spirit to spirit, because there are times when our mind does not understand how to pray. And that's a whole nother message that we'll spend more time on. But what I wanted to focus on here is this is part of praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is what will help you to prevail in your time of temptation and trial, because that strengthens your spirit, man. The more time you spend in communication spirit, the stronger you become in your spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." He who speaks in a tongue edifies. The word edify means to build up or charge up. It has the connotation like a car battery. When the battery goes out and you need to charge it up. You know what you want to talk about? You either put the jumper cables on it from another car, or you put a battery charger on it and the current flows into that battery who has been discharged. The battery who all the power has gone out, and then you hook up the cables and this other source is putting the power back in. Well, that's where we are sometimes. We've been discharged. All the power we had, all the spiritual strength we had, many times we've been fighting battles, or we've not been feeding ourselves the Word of God properly. We've not been spending time in His presence, and we've been discharged, and the battery's dead, and we need it recharged. And praying in the Spirit is part of that. It will help you to recharge your spiritual batteries, to charge up and edify and build up your spirit man. Jude, verse 20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Praying in the Holy Spirit. I want your spirit to be strong. I want you to be able to prevail when the enemy comes with an attack against you. I want you to be like Jesus here in Luke chapter 4 and verse 14, where it says, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee." He returned in the power of the Spirit. You see, when you're strong in spirit, you have the Word of God inside of you, you've been spending time in prayer with God, and you're full of the Holy Spirit, then you could walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, victorious over the enemy, just like Jesus. Came from a battle, but He was victorious. He was physically tired and physically worn out, but He was victorious. He had prevailed. Why? Because He had spent time His whole life in prayer, feeding Himself the Word of God, staying in touch with the Father. Prayer will cause you to prepare. It will help you prepare for the temptations and the tests and the trials. Prayer will help prevent you from walking into that door where you shouldn't be, of that test, of that temptation. And prayer will help you to prevail when the enemy attacks so that you can overcome. I believe prayer is extremely important. It's important enough that in January, I'm going to be teaching on Wednesday night. I'm going to teach a series here. We'll all be in here. The classes will be suspended. We're going to talk and teach about prayer in here for about 8 weeks or so, because it's so important that we need to pray. We need to pray effectively. We need to pray with results. God doesn't want us just to pray to be praying. He wants us to pray to change things. Change things in your life, in this church, and your family members, the people that you know, your loved ones. Prayer should be producing. And I believe we need to have producing prayer going on in your lives and in this church. How many of you believe that? Let's stand up together.